The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is the 14th of June, 2016, and we are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docspreferred.com. Also, too, unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. That's Steven Santangelo, who's on here every month. You can contact him at primalcreations@aol.com, on Facebook, STEPHEN, period. SANTANGELO, period, 75. Also, too, this is the last day on the sale of the Bull Moose 2-inch revolving bar. You go out to atomicathletic.com and check it out. I've got one here. It's a smoking bar. And if you had any injuries, I mean, I had a bicep tear in Iceland 8 years ago. It's fixed, but there are times when I use a non-revolving bar, 2-inch or 3-inch, where the bicep at times feels like it almost binds on me. Not a lot, but when Roger sent me this bar, that eliminates all of it. It's 58 pounds. It's a beast, man. My niece is only 12. She's quite an athlete. I had her deadlift in it last night. I mean, she was smoking the bar. So all I can say is go out to atomicathletic.com. Tell Roger we sent you. Also, too, out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free ebook. It's very simplistic, right to the point. Commit, take action. Also, too, our two biggest products to date on FiorelloBarbellCo.com, Strength Times Power Equals Success, and the Winner's Circle. If you like what we talk about here and you want to see it in motion, check out both of those products. Also, I'm trying to think, was there anything else? Well, we got a lot of new stuff coming up. I'm not even going to bother with that right now. Today we got Holly Joy McCabe on here. She's been on here. It was quite a while ago, and I wanted to get her back, so we got her today. And she is the owner of Kaizen Hybrid Training. She's a trainer, sports therapist, and she's a strength athlete. And, you know, I see her out on Facebook. I read a lot of stuff that she writes out there. But one thing that really kind of set her apart from a lot of the other women is I saw her lifting a Hoosa steel stone like we got here. A lot of people call it the Hoosafel. There's a couple of the other girls that are on here. Sonia Taylor's one of them, too. I love that stone, and anybody I see lifting, I usually send out an invitation, whether they've been on or not, because, I mean, that stuff is rugged as can be. And we're going to talk about a few things today, but we're going to lead off with defining fitness. And I really want to hear what Holly has to say about it. So, Holly, welcome to Motivation and Muscle.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. Give a bio, your website, anything that's coming up in the fitness field, and we'll start on today's subject, if you would, please.
Sure. I've been in the fitness industry 12 years is when I started my training career. Definitely went through a phase where nutrition was my area of emphatic study, and then ventured into the side of sports therapy to kind of bridge the gap with, you know, training, nutrition, massage, and all that. I've had the business for 6.5 years and done strongman now for, I guess, going on 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of dabbled in the whole figure bodybuilding area. That was the primary, you know, start of the fitness thing, and, you know, done marathons and stuff like that for a short time, but always come back to the iron side of things.
Absolutely. I didn't give them your website. What is your website address?
Yeah, it's kaizenhybridtraining.com.
Okay, cool. I'm with you. Everything always comes back to the iron. We just got done doing a show on the law of attraction, and we equated that to the iron in the old days at York Barbell and just the atmosphere. And I'm sure that's what you want to, or you do create, and you probably have where you are, is it's somewhere that people want to be around, that it's not only you, but you are the creator of it, and the people that you attract into there attract other people. And there's a lot to that, because obviously you and I both know one-on-one is fine, but when you've got that buzz around the room with you, that is contagious, and I love anything like that. We were even talking about one of the old York Barbell buildings that had been abandoned for a while, and Roger was saying that even when you walked into that empty building and there were some remnants, you know, like wall charts and a couple old wooden benches, you could feel it still.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. You know, I mean, you know something? I've got a small garage here that's loaded to the gills with everything. If you opened my door and saw it, you'd step back, all right? And the third of my 95-foot driveway is loaded with stones and tires and, you know, everything. And it's like, atmosphere is atmosphere, and if you want to really impart your, I guess, your thought process or what you feel about the iron and stone and all that, that's going to grab somebody's attention right away. And the point of this is the motivation usually will be much easier, I feel. Well, that's my experience with it. You get people fired up. You got to keep them fired up, as you know, and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, obviously before we came on, you said you had a few injuries and you've gone more back to the bodybuilding. But to you, as not only an entrepreneur and a competitor and all that, and maybe it'll be a little bit different, which would be great. How do you define fitness, Holly? What does it mean to you, and how do you like to impart it on, whether it's friends, customers, et cetera, et cetera?
How do you define something that's so subjective? Let me sum
right.
this one up. I think it's a great question, for one, because I feel like that's kind of what I've, stepping away from strongman in the past year,
yep.
really, it's kind of what I've gotten back to. You know, I love the sport, and strength sports are amazing in so many ways, but I kind of got to a point where I had to weigh the pros and cons and really ask myself, you know, what am I doing this for? Because I was
yep.
really feeling beat up, I mean, all the time.
Yeah,
You know, I know everyone's different with how it makes them feel, but running the business and doing everything, you know, I just kind of had to ask myself, like, what am I doing this for? Am I trying to prove something to myself? Do I feel obligated to do it? You know, what am I trying to get out of this? And what the answer that I had for myself was, I do love it and it is rewarding, but I don't feel the greatest doing this right now. And so kind of getting
right.
back to bodybuilding, I allowed myself to fall in love with training, and I allowed myself to train in a way that I felt better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the easiest way to sum it up across the board.
Yep.
With the exception of strength athletes, you know, they don't really fall under the category of fitness necessarily. That's a whole different monster. But in terms of how I work with clients and what I want myself to feel like, and friends and family, it comes
yep.
down to, what do you feel the best in physically? Like, how do you wake up and have energy and feel good in your body and be pain-free and, you know, feel good about yourself mentally and physically? You know, I think that's kind of what it comes down to.
No, I agree. And another thing you hit upon, which was a great note there, you and I and a lot of people, most of the people associated with this show are all entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know with my own two businesses here, some days just totally out. There's no doubt about it, whether it's been multiple problems or you have to take care of multiple things. And I don't know how many people are involved with your business, but other than someone doing the marketing here and the websites, I'm a one-man show right now.
Right.
And, you know, just for instance, this podcast that you and I are doing right now, whether we stay on for a half an hour, 40 minutes, an hour, et cetera, once it's done, it goes to a file, obviously, and is stored on the drive here. Now, I've had a lot of people consult me about they want to do a podcast show, and I am totally in your backyard, all right? I push entrepreneurship. We've had people outside of the realm on here because I think it's very important that if you got a dream and a passion and you're very serious about it, that you go after it and not sit somewhere you don't want to be and complain the rest of your life. But when this show's done and I have to put one up, no matter who it is, the quickest I can get it with no mistakes with Skype, and we've just before you came on, as I told you, we had a problem. So that means I'm going to have to piece it together now. takes more time. The best I've ever done is an hour and 20 minutes, okay? And that's promoting it through the media and everything. Now, when I start telling people that, every one of them so far has backed right out.
Right.
Right, and the thing is, this isn't just you and I talking right now. There's an awful lot that goes with this, and if you have something, you know, we've had in the past where we had a major failure with our provider, and I couldn't get some of the shows back, and once I got them back, you know, you don't have any of the show notes or anything, so you have to reconstruct everything, so it's very big. Now I used my head. And obviously WordPress, which we use for our dashboard, makes all these different plugins, which will back everything up, so I'll never lose that again. But see, it had to happen for me to realize what we had to do here. So entrepreneurship, all this, it might look glamorous to people on the outside, but there's an awful lot of jagged edges you're playing with all the time. But, you know, as you know, I mean, you know, there's days when it's great, and you can go out and train that afternoon, that morning, that night, whatever you choose. There's many times I've had to go out, and, man, I was just dirt tired. But you know something? I put myself through it and always got it done. But that's the whole idea, I think, with fitness. And you know, we can call it whatever, you know. But the bottom line is you're out there, you know, someone seeing you lift a Husafell stone is like, well, I don't define that as fitness. Well, I got news for you. I wish I knew about that when I was 10 years old when I started, because I'll tell you what, I would have been a way better athlete, because my feeling right now is anything you can bear hug, hold, and walk for distance is going to make you a beast.
Yes.
And when you can walk that stone like that, that's the and that's what I want to ask you. Now, I mean, before, you know, you started feeling a little beat up, burned out, because that's a big thing with the strongman especially. It goes after your mental tenacity hard. But when everything's going good and you're training some strongman events, what do you feel like with walking with objects? Did you notice a difference in everything across the board, or no? Or what's your feeling with bear hugging something and carrying it?
Do you mean in reference to all the other events?
Yeah, well, you know, let's just say you have a new client. Now, I started a basketball player on just with sandbags, step-ups, and carrying.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid was, within like 3 months, he could run the court. The other kids, when they're running all these big drills and stuff, a lot of them be throwing up and on their knees and wanting to quit, and this kid could keep going. What I'm saying is, just generically, what is your feeling on just grabbing, say, a beginner with a 30-pound sandbag and teaching them just how to walk and bear hug it? What do you feel physically and mentally, and how good a shape it would get them in? Do you feel that way or not?
I do, for sure. I mean, moving events are – they're definitely high on the list with, you know, that quote-unquote functional training aspect.
Oh, yeah.
You know, over the last couple years – my personal work that I do with clients has really evolved to a more medical side of fitness. I work with a lot of pretty unique clients with, you know, chronic okay. diseases and
yep.
imbalances and stuff. It's really more of a therapeutic training. It's kind of a contrast of athletes to someone with Parkinson's. So obviously
sure.
we don't start those, but we always do a very, very dialed back version. You know, everything inside the gym, we don't have a lot of machines. Everything's
right.
bands and boards and racks and bars. It's so no matter what, it may be a 10-pound kettlebell for them, but they're still moving
yep.
with it. You know, they're not sitting
yep.
on a bench doing a bicep curl with it. So I would say on a very, very dialed back scale, even from a medical therapeutic standpoint, we're always doing some variation of strongman events. They're just not really classified as strongman events, you know?
Right. I agree totally with you, and I think that's one of the only things I've ever seen. Well, obviously, if you know how to use a barbell correctly, too, because to me, the two best pieces that I ever use, and I have to use it because of just safety, is an Olympic bar and a power rack.
Right.
Very simplistic, but can get you anywhere you want to go. But on the strongman side, I wish I knew about carrying, because I'll tell you right now, that's what I agree with you totally. You can take anything like that and scale it back so much and make somebody feel like they're productive. Because let's just put it right out there. A lot of the people that you're going to deal with have been shuffled around by possibly other trainers, mentally probably not handled the correct way. And really, at that point, it builds a lot of self-defeat. And when you get athletes or people that do have medical problems, it's very important to keep them as straight as you can with things and try to, not do everything for them, but try to push them in a very positive direction, you know, get them to kind of come out a little bit of their shell and create what they want to do. And these are all things that, you know, I think, in my opinion, especially with strongman, yeah, the physical end totally you need. But I'll tell you one thing, if you're really a basket case on the mental end, you're not going to get anywhere.
Oh, for sure.
But a lot of people don't address that, though. Go ahead.
Educational background or certifications or studying, yep, or anything that I apply to my work, the mental side is huge. One of my rules, I think we talked about this last time, one of my kind of rules when I start somebody is, you know, people, they've got such negative dialogue in their head, and it externalizes. They're like, oh, I've got no balance. Oh, I suck at this. I've got no upper body strength. And I'm like, shut up.
Yep.
And I have to just tell them from the beginning, I'm like, you have to shift your focus to what we're working on here. You're in this gym, so that's a positive. Like, focus on that. You don't get a prize for how bad you can, you know, beat yourself up or how much you can insult yourself.
Exactly.
So we address that a lot. And psychology as a whole, the law of attraction, you know, all of that stuff, that has been such a huge part of my business from the ground up. I mean, that's how it was all created. So, of course, I take that and I apply that to my coaching programs and how I work with somebody. Again, with the chronic diseases, you've got somebody that has been slapped with a diagnosis and told by a medical environment, you know, you'll do this and you have to be on this medicine and you're not going to be able to walk or play. And people that have had surgeries, they take that and they accept it as truth. And they kind of just live in this, well, I'm doomed. You know, I had this bad back injury 10 years ago and I can't lift weights. And we totally reverse all that, you know.
Yeah.
They don't even know what they're walking into sometimes. They may just want some nutrition advice and a workout, but a year later, they're doing stuff they never even dreamed they could do, because we just built on that mentally and physically in a smart way, too, because kind of going back to other trainers and working with the types of movement that could be classified as strongman, I think the flip side of that is a lot of trainers try to push people too hard. They try to push their bodies way ahead of where their mind is, and they don't build that relationship and that trust, and they want to push too hard, and it backfires, and it makes people give up, and it discourages them. So there's a really delicate balance of pushing somebody, having the knowledge to do that safely, and then building them up mentally in a way that their body and their mind progress at the same rate. Because, one can't go where the other one's not.
No, and I agree with you, because you see that happening a lot of young kids, too. Like when Mike Gillette's on here and he talks about, you know, when he's got young girls who are gymnasts. And, you know, and we've talked about this on other shows. There's, you know, anybody can hang a shingle out as a trainer, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they were good at what they did. But that, you know, it's like when we had teachers in school. Just because they're good at something doesn't mean they're going to translate to what everybody else needs. And that's when you see how good you are, when you can formulate something else that works. And, you know, people think just because they're young, they can just beat on them. And, you know, their bodies give out too. They need surgeries too. But when you take a young child and beat them mentally, that's when you've really destroyed them. And that, you know, there, you know, we see many adults, I'm sure my age, your age, that, well, you know, I was once this. And I was like, well, yeah, but I mean, why can't you be that again? Or at least something that, you know, feeds your hunger. You know, maybe you can't do what you did 10 years ago, but man, you can get off that damn couch and get out there and do something,
you can
right?
Get a new version of it.
Absolutely. And you know, the thing is, I hate here is I've told people leave here. You say to me, I'll give it a try, you might as well pack your gear and leave. I don't accept those words at all. And I've had other people that just wouldn't let up on themselves, that they couldn't stick around because, you know, you work very hard to create an atmosphere and a training regimen for them, and hopefully you help them settle whatever differences they've got mentally. But it doesn't always work, unfortunately, and you got to look at the whole, because it's not all about them, me, or anybody. It's about the whole family. And if you can't, if you got one person in that mix that just won't turn the page, they have to go. I used to keep them around because I always had that sympathy for them. I don't do that anymore because it really can bleed the whole thing out. So I don't want to do that. But I'll tell you one thing I do, especially with the young kids. I make them go out and get the book Think and Grow Rich.
Oh, yeah.
And people are like, what? What are you teaching them how to make money? Well, I said they can learn a little bit out of there. But to me, that was the fuse that's lit everybody out there now. And that book was written in the 30s, I believe. And I still got mine from college. And, of course, the binding's broken on it and everything. And I will not get rid of it. I mean, it's taped. It's got pages that are barely hanging on. But I don't want the new one. I don't want any of that because, you know, in my business classes, it was like I love the teacher I had, and it's just something that I won't let go. And I think that, you know, mentally when you can get people starting to read books and incorporate things in their life, this kind of nonsense is going to end. And my whole thing is this, you know, especially with, like, the show here and everything – always offer solutions and get these people on board because you know what? Then they're going to go out and help other people. And it's a chain reaction. And that's what we need because, I mean, you look at what's going on with you know, I don't – the world, I'm not even going to get into that right now. But I'll tell you right now, in today's world, I think if you're much stronger mentally and physically than the norm, you got a half a shot or a full shot of really doing something. And – there's just too much of this nonsense out there. There's, you know, the media, as you and I both know, for the businesses, it's a great thing. But otherwise, I really don't have anything to do with media.
Right, for sure.
I'm more of a reader if I'm going to do something. Or I like to read things or go out and write things that are going to be something that is going to further me educationally. But it's also something that I can put out there that I hope people can learn from and enjoy. But, you know, especially, too, I was interested, too, because we've done a few of that here. I've seen in the past that you deal with people that are really having a lot of weight problems. And I've had enough of them here, and we've had very good success where it really is a mental chore, though. I mean, at least with what I've had, you know, I've had people in their 70s that were diabetic and you know, they had neuropathy and, you know, basically they're, the as you would say, the doctors are telling them this and that, you know, they've buried them for dead,
yeah.
You know, and here I am knocking tons of weight off the guy, you know, having to go out and buy clothes and this and that, which is something that's good. But here was one of the greatest things I thought with this guy was, I think he was 70 at the time when he started here. He didn't even have enough hand strength to turn a pickle jar, you know, the top off it.
Yeah.
And you know, you and I can say, well, no big deal to us. We can do it. Well, when you're 70 years old and suddenly you can't even open a pickle jar, that's pretty serious. And you know what I did with him? All I did is trained his grip for 3 months, and he was twisting the tops off anything. So, you know what I mean? There's no hopeless cases to me.
No, not at all. I don't believe – I haven't believed in the word hopeless for a really long time.
No, but you know something – go ahead.
Yeah, if you can't believe in a client, you know, they're never going to believe in themselves. And I think, again, and I don't mean to like ramp on all the negative qualities of the fitness industry, but there are definitely plenty and things that frustrate
tons
me.
Of-
I think, yep. You know, all these people that go and get a day certification or something, again, they don't have any concept of the mental side of things. And they kind of doom people because they don't really find out what's important to them. They don't build the relationship. They don't trust in them. And they just kind of beat them up to validate their own ego. Oh, I made this person get sick, yada, yada. Okay, well,
yeah.
What did that do for them? Like, you just made them hate exercise, and they're probably going to quit in a month. So you just screwed with their head.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that whole, like, egomaniac world of training, you know, it's so self-gratifying for the actual trainer. And I hate that because it's not about what it makes you look like or what you made them do. It's what's important to them, what is going to improve their quality of life. I mean, for somebody that needs and wants to open a pickle jar, that's it. And does it make you look like a badass that you post on social media and be like, look what I made this person do?
Yeah.
But that's important to them. Like, that's the real difference. So, yeah, I see a lot of, you know, the Instagram training generation that's so popular right now. It's all about, like, look what I did and look what I made this client do and hardcore workout. And, you know, I bought into that for a while, too. There was a time where even on my Facebook, when Time Hop pops up, I'm like, gosh, I was kind of a jerk. Because I went through that. I think we've all kind of been through that little egomaniac side of fitness. But then you just get a reality check and you're like, that's not what it's about. It's about making people feel good and getting them to a goal and helping their quality of life. Like, quality of life is the most important thing. And that's different for everybody.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I always say most of that stuff out there, most people are one-trick ponies, you know, because it won't show their failures, you know. And when we film here, I could care less, man. You know, it's like if I, like, you know, one day, for instance, we were just doing it at the end of the workout and we were pressing a 200-pound keg overhead, which was full of water. And, you know, that's a big difference, 200 pounds like that as 200-pound barbell. And I was, like, just taking this thing and slamming it up over my head. And the one time it rocked back on me, and all my stones were behind me, and I hit the stone, and I chucked the keg to the left, and it impaled between two stones, and I fell down. And we filmed the whole thing, okay? And everybody's like, that was pretty funny. I was like, because I, like, laughed at the end of it, you know? And I was like, well, it's a wonder I didn't fall over the back, break my neck, and kill myself. Right. But the point of the matter is, I'll show you the good, but I'll show you all – I don't know if you'd call it a failure, but I'll show you all that too. And when you can show that human side, especially when you want to train people, I'm telling you right now, you got them for sure, because they understand finally that the guy or girl that's training them is human. And when you can show that side and not be ashamed of it or afraid of what people are going to say, you got a hell of a lot better chance of going locking up one-on-one with people and helping them out, where you got the nonsense where, you know, the 90-day fit club, you know, come on in and lose 100 pounds, and you're looking at these models or failed athletes or whatever that are all ripped and probably basically aren't even eating, all right? And they're telling you you can look like that. I mean, talk about unrealistic. And I can remember, which was really interesting, I was listening to Tony Robbins one day. And, you know, obviously people spend big money to go 3 days with him on a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was pretty sad, and I never really even thought of it that way. He was like, you know, people buy thousands of dollars of digital or DVDs or whatever. He said, do you know that probably 99% of them never even open up the wrapper?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, so you got 3 days, so now you know everything, or was it just an exercise and going? And, you know, maybe I'll use it in another time. And I think that's what a lot of it all is now. I like – When we do stuff here, I like to just keep things very simplistic, depending on body size, what they're looking at, and whatever. Don't overwhelm them. Just give them enough where it creates a little bit of hunger in them, and they're like, I can't wait to come back in 2 days.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when we talk about the mental end of everything, I think it's far better to do it like that and just give them little doses of things like that. Then, like you said, you overwhelm them, you kill them mentally, and they don't come back.
Yeah, and I just did a video about this last week about motivation. Yep. And, you know, people – motivation is a good – like, it's going to incentivize you to take the first step. So it's good, and we all have our times where we're a little more motivated than others. But somebody coming in and saying, I have a cruise in a month, and I want to lose 20 pounds. I'm like, okay, well, why else are you in here? Because if you're only in here for that, then I'm not the trainer that's going to promise you I can make you lose 20 pounds and sign you up and, you know, take your money. I don't want your money if I can't actually help your overall life. So I ask a lot of questions with what someone's goal is, and I make sure that they have a bigger driving reason. And generally there is one. You know, if they end up in my gym, there's a bigger reason than just the cruise. Once they really start thinking about it, you know, people break down in tears all the time. You know, a woman comes in and she's like, actually, you know, I had three kids and I've never felt like I've had myself back, and I want to feel attractive to my husband, and all this stuff starts coming up. That's their bigger why. And that's what's going to keep them past that initial, I'm motivated because a cruise is coming and I've got to put a swimsuit on. Okay, well, we can use that. That got you in here. But there's bigger reasons and there's a bigger purpose for this. And, you know, once they stick with it 6 months down the road, they're not even concerned about that 20 pounds anymore. It's generally off of them. But what they say all the time is they're like, you know, looking good or dropping some dress sizes, that's just the icing on the cake. Like, I feel so good. I'm strong. I'm confident. You know, I had the balls to go and apply for a different job. Like, it spills over so much. So the looking better or dropping some pounds is just, that's just a bonus at that point. And that's the true change that I strive to, you know.
No, and I think that's a great thing because, you know, let's face it. Men and women are totally different. Some guys could care less what they look like. I know there's some women that do too, but, you know, I've dealt with a lot of them here. I've dealt with them in different capacities. And you know what? I'm glad you take pride in yourself that much and you want to look good for whether it's your husband or your boyfriend or whatever, because that reflects on a lot about you. And, you know, when you're involved with people, those things are real important. And you know something, if you can use the gym, just like we try to do with everything here, as the springboard to what you want to become outside, because we all know your inner thoughts are reflecting on the outside of you. There's no big secret to that. I think people don't still realize that or understand it in a lot of ways. But I think it's great when somebody comes and says, all right, I want to lose 20 pounds. But the thing is, you're shaping them in a way now that is pointing them in a direction which they don't even know which is coming.
Yeah.
Well, and once they, you know everything like with weight training and strongman, and the same with me, you know, we don't always know what's around the bend, but when we keep moving and we keep thinking that we're going to get there, it's going to happen. And it's like everything. There's going to be pitfalls everywhere. You're going to meet people that are going to disappoint you, because I'll tell you, in this field, I've met more disappointments than anything, you know, promises all over the place. Oh, I'm going to do this. And then they fall like a dollar day short every time. And it's not everybody, but you've got to learn to, as Rocky would say, you got to be willing to take the hit, you know, and keep moving forward. And it's very important. And When you have that type of ability within yourself, don't think people aren't going to pick right up on that. And that is an asset that not a lot of people have. You know, like I'll have people say to me, you know, you're very lucky you're not afraid to speak in front of people and you can do this stuff. And you know, who knows where this is all going to lead down the road. I said, I've never had anything formally talked to me. I was always like this, even as a kid. I just love to talk to people. I'm not afraid to go up to anybody and speak to them. That includes, you know, a lot of my buddies, everybody, you know, it'd be like a real good-looking girl. It's like, and here's the thing. Well, do you think she's single? I'm like, I don't know. Do you think she'd go out with me? Do you think she'd talk to me? I said, here's what you do there, buddy. Pick your ass up off the chair. Go over and introduce yourself, okay? If she doesn't want to talk to you, I'm sure she'll tell you. But I'm sure there might be 10 other people you can talk to the same way that night. So it's like, take a shot, man. Stop sitting there and watching the world go by and wondering, what if? You know what I mean? You know what the thing is? It's like, do you know what you're missing out on? You never know. You know what I mean? And that's how I see things a lot. You know, like when I go in a place, a restaurant or somewhere, you know, people are always going to know that you weight lift. They're going to see those attributes on you. And a lot of times, I'm sure you've had it too, they'll come over and ask you, do you lift weights? I mean, it's so damn obvious. And I don't want to like say no. And I've done that just screwing around. But it's like, you know why I don't do that anymore? Because I feel that I have an obligation. And the obligation is, let's get as many people on this as we can. And maybe we save a life or two, or maybe they've got kids and other friends and this and that, and we get them into this. And this is the most important thing to me. We can talk about it. We can push it out here because this is the best form, I believe. You can write all the articles you want, all the books. Great. Kudos to you. But when the spoken word, like this show, is just growing monster size every month, and we're getting out internationally now. We had our first show in Ireland the other day. So we are trying to spread this all over the place. And when you and I are speaking about the different things we've both been into and are doing, this is really lending a service to people. And that's what I am more jacked up about than anything. I mean, it's great to be training to go away to Iceland again, and it's great for me to be training to go, you know, I want to go to Scotland and lift the invert, and next year I want to go and learn how to bass stone lift in Spain for a month, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, all these things are great, and you know what I like about this more than anything, Holly, is this, all these experiences, they don't have to lift bass stones, but the experience we bring back mentally and physically, and I still think working out in the trenches is the best teacher. You can go out and read everything you want, theory, study, it all works. But when you and I are outside and it could be 100 out or here in New York, it could be 20 below, all right, that's when you really get your education. So tell me what you're feeling on all that.
Well, the main thing I want to touch about is the part when you talked about, you know, making an impact and actually saving lives. It's like some people may kind of laugh at that, but that's such an accurate statement that, you know, lifting and letting this be such a huge part of your life can literally save people's lives. And something that I haven't really announced, but I guess I'll go ahead and do it now, kind of behind the scenes, I'm actually working on an official 501c charity that'll be called Plates and Paws, and I work with rescue animals and stuff and a pit bull advocate, but I wanted to take that a little further. And the organization is literally going to be a charity organization that takes lifting programs and implements them in basically homes for young kids, you know, delinquents and troubled teens and criminals and all that kind of stuff, and helps try to implement something, a positive thing for them to fall in love with and learn that self-esteem and basically be a game changer in life. You know, addictions and stuff that kids are dealing with, it's just all that stuff is so prominent, and lifting is a healthy outlet for them that literally can change the course of their life. So that's something that's huge. And again, I don't think when you talk about the term fitness, what do people think? Mostly they think of men's health and a six-pack abs, but it's so much deeper than that. You know, it can really, really, really change people's lives. And that's kind of the bigger purpose and goal, is get it to people where it's literally going to make or break whether they're going to go down the road of drug addiction and end up overdosed at 19, like an article I just read yesterday, or they're going to, you know, lift and create a healthy habit and channel for their energy and all that for the rest of their lives. So that's the biggest thing. I mean, that's the impact, personal experience aside or anything. If you can help even introduce that to one person, that makes a difference.
Well, what you're doing is awesome, and I congratulate you on that. I mean, it's so important, and, you know, right now, especially in America, we are really suffering from that right now. There's so much turmoil, so many kids that just, you know, someone was saying the other day, I don't know if it was a friend of the family or I heard it somewhere, and I thought it was sick when I heard it. It's like, well, we got, it might have even been on a Time Warner commercial. I don't want to give them any kudos, all right? It was something to the effect that, well, we're getting out of school, we're going to need more bandwidth, and so you can stay inside. I'm like, my mother and father booted us out of the house in the summer. It was like, you're not sitting home all day and watching TV or anything like that. And we weren't like that. We were always out playing sports or hanging out with our friends. And it's like, how the world has changed so much. It's like, if I ever heard my parents say, I'd go up and I think and say, is something wrong with you? You know what I mean? It'd be like more bandwidth, more television, more texting. I'd be like, I mean, I'm not a big phone. I mean, even though I talk every day anyways, I unless it's business, I don't really talk on the phone anymore. There's just some things I don't want to do at the end of the day. And it's the same with texting. I mean, they all have their points and they all help me out at different points, but it'll be the day you're going to see me sit on a couch and text for hours on top of hours. It's just not my type. And, you know, I like what my sister does. I mean, we've got, you know, my nieces are 14 and 12, and they go down the line right to my nephew, just turned 6. And she lets them have a phone, but I don't know how it's set up. I don't know if they can call with it or they can only text. And, you know, if she sees them doing it constantly, goodbye. It's out of there. So, but it's a different – the generation is different now. That's what they've grown up with, the computer all the time, but it's more the phone than anything. And I just don't have the I could care less. Like, today it's beautiful here in New York. I'd much rather be sitting out in the backyard writing or, you know, screwing around with some stuff in the weight room, whatever. But it's a different atmosphere. And with what you're doing and what I do with the show is I'm offering alternatives to a phone. All right. Get out there, get physical, see how that feels for a change. Because I had a thing, and I'll shift it right back to you. This is what really got me sold on how dangerous and addictive it is. I was coming off a side street, and it was going on to like a main thoroughfare, which is extremely busy. So I see this guy stepping off a curb, and I know he's texting and he's looking down. Now there's a light there, okay? This guy didn't even pay attention. He walked across that street, and I swear the car beeped at him. He didn't even look up. If that guy wanted to hit him, he could have run him over and killed him.
Right.
Now, when you're that devoted to something or something's got you that tight, you got a problem. You know, and I'm not saying throw your phone away, throw your laptop away. I'm not saying any of that. But use that in conjunction with something that is physical, is mental, and something that just might break you out of the pack a little bit and not be sitting there texting. Because I'll tell you, one night I was up at my buddy's Italian restaurant, and there was a couple there. And I was sitting at one of their tables when we were all talking, and I'm watching these two. They didn't look up at each other. They ate very little, and the whole time they were texting. And I was like, are they texting to each other? So you know what I mean? Now, if I went out with some girl on a date and she did that to me, I would kindly excuse myself and walk right out the door.
No.
You know what I mean?
Go ahead. 100% agree. It's ridiculous. One of the last times I was out to a dinner, there was a group of like five girls having a birthday dinner. And we watched, and basically they Snapchatted, Instagram, took a picture of every single play-by-play, but they never actually said a single word to each other. And I was like, you know, for everyone watching on social media, they've had a hell of a time. They have had the best night.
Yep.
But they literally have not spoken a word or put their phones down the whole time. And, I mean, I love social media, and I love posting and sharing, but I'm a real old-fashioned with, you know, dinner time. My phone does not come out of my purse and stuff like that. And we have to kind of shift things back around to organic, you know, making connection with other humans and animals and literally the physical aspect of having a bar in your hands and doing something. You know, that's therapy in and of itself. It doesn't need to get more complicated than that sometimes.
No, it doesn't. And you know something? There's a cool thing. I don't remember where I saw it. It might have been on Facebook. And it was this restaurant with a big sign. It was something to the effect where, no phones of any kind in here. What we do is we speak to one another.
Right, right.
And I thought that was pretty slick because it's kind of a thing we've really lost. You know, when we talk about what we do and all the things that are out there, if you can't converse with people, you know, from what you do, you're out of business. I mean, what are you going to do, text them all day? I mean, come on. Too many things get lost in texts. I mean, how many times have you got a text from somebody? I'm like, what the hell are they saying to me? You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay. So I'm like, I'll send something back. Let me know when you're free, and I'll talk to you. And they'll be like, okay. You know what I mean? Think about if we were doing this show and I was texting you back and forth for the last 42 minutes we've been on. You'd be like, the hell with you, man. I'm not talking to you anymore. Right. You know, and it's very important. I hate to see that would be a big loss for humanity. Believe me, you know, everything you see, you know, there's virtual girlfriends, there's virtual boyfriends, there's robots for this. I don't want to lose my humanity. I never would. I mean, why do you need virtual anything? And that's why I said to you before, you can't walk up to somebody and say hello to them. I mean, what's happened to you? You know, and you know what it is? It's this constant thing you always hear. I have people come here. I don't want to be rejected. I said, I hate to break it to you. You're going to be rejected your whole life, man. Get over it quick, okay? Get over it quick, and I mean real quick, and go on to whatever else you're going to do. Because every day we were going to face rejection with something. You know, as they say, I can't remember who it was. It might have been Matt Fury. He's like, learn how to grow a turtle shell on you. You know, something to the effect of that. And I thought that was pretty cool. And I've read stuff, too, you know, learn to build thick skin. You know, I mean, you look at, no one likes to be rejected. No one likes to be talked to like they're some type of dog in any way. But you know what? You're going to meet up with life, and those are life lessons and character builders. Obviously, with all the stuff you're doing, and it's interesting. So now you're doing the bodybuilding. So I want to move into you in the last segment of the show totally. Do you feel much better now that you're doing – well, tell me, bodybuilding-wise, what are you doing right now?
Well, the fun of it is, you know, anybody who's ever done any kind of diligent strength programming, it's pretty damn specific. You know, it's your reps and your percentages and this day rest. And there's a little bit of flexibility, but it's structured and it's rigid. The thing that I've really enjoyed and that's helped me focus on my business a little bit more and just kind of enjoy life overall is –
yeah.
I'm kind of winging it. And I mean, not winging it to the extent that I'm just like, oh, I don't feel like training today, or I'll go work biceps for an hour. But every day is so different for me in the business. If I have a trainer call out sick, well, my 2 hours that I needed to go and lift strongman events, you know, if that doesn't happen, then that stresses me out and the whole week was off. Well, now if that happens, then I might just hop in and train with my clients on the 30-minute boot camp and just get a really quick leg circuit in, because that works for me. That didn't work for my strength program. You know, it's I could get a 30-minute workout and sweat, and then I didn't have to feel like the day was a wash or stress about it the next day. So, I mean, I'm kind of doing a 3 or 4 day lifting split. You know, I go in, I've got several gym memberships, so I'll go in and hit old school, you know, leg extensions different machine workouts, and then always do some sprints and cardio. I've been doing a lot of outdoor training, which is another thing
great.
That is so therapeutic that I really missed, because with the strongman training, you know, the cardio, it's like keep your heart rate under 130 and that steady state stuff. Like, I hate that. Now I'll go and run out at a hill or do trail sprints. And so it's just stuff that's more enjoyable for me, and I get to do it more on my own terms when I can. And that takes a lot of the pressure off and stress, and I think that's a huge part of what's making me feel better, is I'm just kind of like, you know, I know how to train hard, and I know how to make 10 minutes count or an hour count, so I'm just doing that as I can. That's kind of my main focus, is just getting back to the basics and switching it up, you know, kayaking and mountain climbing and all that kind of stuff that, again, I used to think about that, and I'd be like, well, no, I've got events Saturday, so that's 3 hours, and I'm going to be totally exhausted, and then Sunday I'll just want to rest. It's like everything revolved around the strongman training.
Yeah.
And now it's like I've got the energy, and I'm like, yeah, I'll go kayak for 3 hours on Saturday. So it's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, but you know what the nice thing is? Due to all that type of training you did, that look at what that has allowed you to do now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You built such tenacity and strength and mental solitude that, you know, you can do that stuff. We kind of, you know, I take it for granted. I mean, when I had that injury, of course, that was really changed a lot of things for me. But I never really took my training for granted. But, you know, like, for instance, the other day, I pulled just below mid-shin, because I'm not going off the ground super heavy right now, because I've got plenty of time. And I don't feel like I'm hammering my lower back all the time. So I was like, there's no need to start that. But I comfortably pulled a 350-pound steel stone the other day very easy, okay? And all I did is pulled it and stood straight up with it and put it down. One thing I found, though, a couple things that are real interesting, and this might be something down the road if you get back into this thing with the stone especially, is two things. Bill Crawford, who's on here, who in my opinion is one of the greatest stone lifters out there, he's the one, he's a medical doctor from New Hampshire and quite a Highland Games guy. I feel one of the best stone lifters in the world, and he's the one who initially organized when we went to Iceland in 2008, and he and I had the honor of both blowing our biceps there in Iceland. And it is an honor now. When it first happened, it didn't. But, you know, like one of the guys said to me, and I wish I could do him with that Icelandic voice, but, you know, they would always call me Eric like that. You know, it was like, it's like, now you have a permanent scar. You're going to love it the rest of your life. And at the time, I was like, well, you got a brick in your skull or what? But now, hell yeah, man. I got a permanent thing I'll always remember from there. But as Bill said, One of the best things to lift stones, obviously, is a bent row, you know, and I was saying, well, I love bent rows, I always have, and he's like, but you know what, one of the best things to do with it, to get a grip for the bent row, like, you know, with the stone, I was like, what, he goes, start lifting stones and dig your fingers into them, and I do isometrics with them and all that. I'll tell you right there, that was, like, brutally awesome, and it really helps lifting any stone. I mean, the steel ones are hard enough the way you've got the bend in the wrist and all that. But what I found was with the stones itself, you know, especially with the one in Husafell, I mean, there's no handholds in that stone, and it's talc, and it feels always wet no matter what. So just that alone is going to help. But then I got thinking, I was like, I can't believe I haven't thought of it. I mean, we all know the fingers, the wrists, the forearms, the biceps, all that connection is all big for stone lifting. But, you know, I've always done big forearm work, but I was like, I think I'm going to make my forearms just explode bigger and bigger. Because, you know, here I am screwing around that stone Sunday, and obviously previous to that, and I got all different size ones I can carry with the metal ones. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, Eric, obviously – if you got the middle, I do a lot of close grips because I think the pecs are real vital, especially for me when I bear hug that thing. But I'm like, why aren't you making your forearms bigger? Because the squeeze you got to exert on that thing, especially if you're not going to use tacky on a cold day, because when it gets cold here, especially if it's zero and I'm carrying, you can wear a flannel shirt, but it feels smooth when you're trying to grab that thing, and it could have a tendency to pull out. So here I am out there just burying my forearms now all the time, and that's how I'm equating stones to it now. It's like bigger forearms equates to bigger carries, longer carries, more squeezing, because now with the weather, it's been nice here for like the last week and a half, but prior to that, it was like 94 and humid for days, and it was like you go out and try to grab that stone in that weather. I'm not going to lie. I'll tape with Johnson's tape all the way up to like the middle of my forearm, and I'll put tacky on.
Right.
You know, and you know why? Because if I drop that and crush my foot, I can't lift anymore.
Right, for sure.
So, but you know what I mean? It's like, I know they're very obvious, all right? You know, well, why didn't you think of that before? Well, I've always trained the forearms, but now I'm kind of like almost specializing in the forearm. I want that belly to get as big as it can there, and that's how. And it's just like a mind trip with you, where okay, my forearms now, you know, I can just create it. All right, I just grew them 2 inches. Now I can take this stone and bury it 95 feet all the way down and back. So when we're talking about the little mental things we do, it's little mental things through the training we do that can really change the scope of what we do and what we become. What do you think? Am I on or off or what?
No, of course. I mean, you're dead on. And it's funny because I think sometimes the smarter we get, the dumber we get sometimes. Like,
yeah,
we can get so submersed in the technicalities of lifting and science and everything that sometimes the basics elude us. I mean, I've caught myself doing that with different things. I'm like, well, how did I miss that? Because my head was so far in the sand of science and technicality and all of that. It was like, oh, well, maybe I should just stick to the basics. And that kind of ties back into, you know, what we were just talking about previously, that, you know, sometimes just a barbell and some activity is as simple as it gets for people just balancing themselves and their lives. It's just really simple sometimes, and we overcomplicate things. So,
you're right, because, you know, look, I can make a day just out of, like, loading a dumbbell and doing a one-arm press with it on each side. And it doesn't have to be as heavy can be. You know, I mean, this is another thing. Do I like going heavy as much as I can? Yeah, but with what I'm doing, something's got to take a little bit of a back seat. And you're never going to enjoy stuff, especially this. This is no baloney what we do. I mean, this is some really hard stuff. As you said in the beginning, too, it was taking a toll on your body. It's taking a toll on me, too. I know it. The problem with me is I'm just too damn dumb to get out of it because I love it too much, all right? And I'm going to always do it. I know that. But obviously, once I'm done with going on these excursions, it'll be much less, and I'm sure I'll find some other mischief to get into, because that's just how my mind revolves. I can't sit still and just do the regular stuff for very long. I've always got to have something – that's kind of like beating on me or pushing me or making me, you know, go after it. So that's kind of like my attitude and disposition. But the thing with this stuff being that it has such rewards to it, but it makes you pay a price too, is I guess that's the, well, they like to say yin and yang, but I just say, you know, that's the back and forth with everything. And to become very successful with that, you're going to have to put up with a lot of that stuff, and you're going to have to dole a lot of stuff. I was saying the other day on a show, I'm sure you've probably done it. If you haven't, I hope it never happens. What, you know, there was one night, well, there's been multiple nights in my life, obviously, where things just weren't going right out there, right? and I'd be like, it would sound like there was another person in there with me, and some of the self-talk was real bad. I mean, I'm guilty of that like anybody. So I was so pissed off with squats, I picked up one of the 45s, and, you know, there was a load of them on each side, and I slammed the thing so hard, I caught, you know, that the heavy part of your, you know, your palm of your hand just below your thumb in between the two plates. Mm. They probably heard me yell from here 2 miles away, literally, and there was stuff coming out of my mouth. If my mother ever heard me, she would have washed my mouth out with soap, right? So it was that bad, and I was like, you know, it's just one of these friggin' nights, man. And it was like, you're going to pack it up or you're going to see it through? And I was like, got to see it through. You never leave something unfinished or unturned like that. I did it, and I was saying to myself, why am I doing this shit anymore? You know, I mean, obviously you're not saying that, but you realize at some point, I got to stop doing the strongman stuff right now because it's doing more ill to me than good. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to quit this shit. I've had enough of it. And I was like, I got done with everything. I picked it up, and I shut the door, and I was walking halfway down the driveway, and all I said to myself, well, 2 days from now I'll be back. So you know what I mean? It's like you're dealing with something that's really got a hold on you, and you and I both know this stuff has got a hold on your life. This isn't something we just do for the hell of it. This is a lifestyle.
Right.
And this is what I try to teach people, that once this bites into you and you bite back at it, it's never going to let you go. And to me, this is more important than, well, family comes first, obviously. But this is pretty damn close to it because I have a great family. You know, I had a brother that had muscular dystrophy. So I learned right from the beginning about things like this. I have a different attitude towards a lot of things. A lot of people say, well, you're kind of cold to it. I was like, I was around, I seen some of the worst at my house, okay, through my brother. But we always had a good home, family, parents that just cared about you, you know, and took care of my brother. There's nothing wrong with him mentally. We took him everywhere. You would never know other than that he was in a wheelchair. That was it, man. It was, and he lived much longer, I'm sure, than he should have. But the point of the matter is this. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to be in your life. But I will say this, especially like with the business and all the stuff that happened prior to this with my job loss and all that. If it wasn't for lifting and it wasn't for the family, obviously, but the lifting obviously more so, because as you grow into an adult man or woman, you have to make responsible changes or accept or whatever you're going to do. I got to tell you, Holly, if I didn't have it, I probably would have cracked or broke.
Oh, yeah.
All right? And go ahead. Take it. I've been talking. Go ahead.
No, I think we share a lot of the same approaches and kind of have been through unique but similar situations.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, it does always have a hold on you. And I think where I'm at right now is I've just shifted it a little bit more towards adventure kind of stuff instead of just beating my body up with weights. You know, I've been skydiving and mountain climbing and all this stuff lately that was kind of on the back burner because lifting was always first and foremost, again, with the strength style stuff. And that has its own position in life, but you know, the iron, you may drift away from it or you may change styles. But as we said in the very beginning, you know, you can always become a new version of that person that's striving to challenge your mind and body to new levels. And it doesn't always have the same look as it does through 20 years of your life. You know, you may start bodybuilding and then go powerlifting, and then you may go, you know, to jiu-jitsu, but it's still the same concept of challenging the mind and body, and it's going to take on a lot of different shapes. So I think that's the whole point of it.
We're pretty much near the end of the show. Summarize anything you want. You know, give out all your information. And if you'd hang on the line for a minute, please, I'd appreciate it. But before I go to you, I want to say this. You know, we all got a responsibility. We all have a chance to better ourselves to, as I say, further your greatness, because everybody has the ability to do great things. The problem is a lot of people don't have the confidence, or they've been beaten down and all that. But let me tell you something. Don't use that as your crutch. Be, you know, be the person that is going to break from the pack. Don't worry about what others think about you. I mean, I'm sure Holly and I can tell you from experience, I've lost multiple friends because of the business. I've lost family because of the business, because people don't agree with what you're doing, or maybe they're not interested in your success. I don't know. I don't think for other people. I just know that I've learned a few things that I'm going to impart on you, and I'm going to give it right to Holly, and she can comment on anything at that point. Never let anybody make you feel like you're less than you are. You be the one that sets the benchmark for yourself. If you need to seek people out, which we all do, like Holly's on with me today. Everybody I'm on with, I learn something from, and I hope she's learned something from me one way or the other, because that's what the whole atmosphere we create here, learning and teaching. I mean, we might not be certified teachers, as they say, in a school, but everybody on here is a teacher. I have multiple teachers in my family. The only reason why I'm not a teacher is I'd be up on charges because I'd put them through a wall. And that's like the big That's like the big joke in my house. You're a great teacher, but you can never do it in a structured environment. Why? It depends what kind of environment. I can do it here. I think people need to have a mutual respect, not be afraid of you. Secondly, too, if there's people in your life that are giving you a hard time, as I call them, vampires, you need to cut them out of your life. And I know that sounds pretty hostile or hardcore, but you got to remember this. People that are constantly taking from you are not friends, all right? And you need to go out and find a new set of friends. When you surround yourself with winners, you're going to become a winner. And always surround yourself with people that are better than you or right on the same level, and as you grow, you'll meet better. That's how you learn and become a real success, however you define it in your life. Holly, it's all yours, kid.
I guess I'll just summarize everything with the various topics we touched on, which is basically whatever you're doing, whether it's lifting or marathons, make sure that it's true to you and what makes you feel good. You know, if you've done bodybuilding for 10 years and it doesn't feel like it's feeding your heart and soul anymore, you know, don't be afraid to venture out into something else. Like, I think we just get attached to our roles and our identity as something, you know, I am a bodybuilder or XYZ. And I just think you have to be open to the evolution of where these different things will take you. And, you know, that's what my company name and philosophy is. It's Kaizen means constant, never-ending improvement. So that doesn't always mean in one specific avenue, you know, venture out and experience a lot of different things, because there are a lot of different varieties of this whole thing called physicality and iron sports. So that's kind of my closing thought.
No, and that's fine. Give us the website, anything you got coming up, and I'll give mine and just hang on, please.
Yeah, website is Kaizen Hybrid Training. Of course, the gym is in Nashville. If anybody's there, feel free to visit. All of my social media is by my full name, Holly Joy McCabe. YouTube, social, you know, Instagram, Facebook, all that. Yep. So.
That it?
Yep.
Well, you want to hear something good, and this could happen to you. Will Dinwiddie, who's on here every month, he's a champion in everything he does. He's in Oregon. Somebody was listening to two people have listened to the show, obviously. They didn't even know he existed, and they joined his gym. So maybe that'll happen to you. So you never know.
Yeah. We'd love it.
You never know. It's awesome. All right. This is Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. Also, too, unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% wholesome organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. That's Steven Santangelo, who's on here Thursday with us. Primal Creations at AOL.com. Facebook, STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO, period, 75. Also, too, today's the last day to purchase the Bull Moose Bar from AtomicAthletic.com. It's a brutal bar. I've got one here. I would never endorse anything that was not good for our family here and anyone else that's listening. Check it out. Go out to atomicathletic.com. Tell Roger we sent you. Also, too, free book on FiorelloBarbellCo.com, The Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. As Holly and I were talking, sometimes you got to go back to basics, and I still think if you don't have a foundation, you're not building the house you want. So think about that. Stop falling for all the trickery out there and go back to the basic stuff. Also, too, Strength Times Power Equals Success and the Winner's Circle are both out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Those are my biggest products to date. We've got a ton more coming. We've got so many things happening here. But right now, those two will help anybody that wants to get back into lifting, lose weight, whatever you want to do. They're all very interchangeable, and that's what makes them unique like that. They're just not structured where you can only do something one way, and if you can't, well, too bad. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check them out. Also, too, if there's a show you – I'm going to get her back on here, I hope. So if there's a show you'd like Holly and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. I'm sure we can come up with something for you. Also, too, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten from everybody. We thank you on that. Also, too, I'll leave you with these things, obviously. Number one, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give somebody inspiring words. I mean, that makes a big difference. Secondly, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. Also, too, if you're going to lift today, lift it, press it, pull it, squat it, bend it, break it. If you're going to lift some stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in blood red, domination. We are domination. We don't follow the path. We clear cut our own. And as on anything you ever see me right now, I say dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. When you dominate it, you dominate whatever you're doing. When you obliterate your goals, you move on to something else. And if you have a bad day, as I've had many times, put the biggest dent you can in anything you got, because let it know you're coming back on another day and you're going to eat it alive. As Russell Fur says, who was on the show this weekend, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning, said, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of the speakers. I said, Russell, that was one of the nicest compliments we've ever gotten here. We will say that 30 years from now when who knows what we'll be doing, lifting, or talking about. It's a very interesting prospect to think about. Holly, thanks for coming on the show. I greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Pleasure was mine.
Thank you. So before we sign off, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And remember this, tell 100 of your friends, because if you don't, we're coming for you anyways. So for Holly Joy McCabe, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening, and we are going to get her on again. And I promise you, we got some big shows coming up this week, too. It's just getting better and better. I love it. This is the best life I've ever had to date. We'll talk to you soon. Go out and do something magnificent. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.